just putting it down on that list and saying, I'm going to do this 5 times a day and actually checking it off for each day. For some reason, just it's a reward system for me. If you're out there and you're trying to do something outside of your core job, try to focus on one thing at a time until you master that, like you said, and then move on and give yourself the attention to something else.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micro moments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micro moment count. This is a two-part episode. If you want to check out the first part, listen to the previous episode of Time Billionaires.
It's so true. The accumulation of these small habits is what adds up to how we spend our days. And that's something that first sparked my interest in reclaiming micro moments was noticing when I started working remotely during the pandemic, just how much more sedentary I had become, because there were walks between meeting rooms before the pandemic, walking to a commute, coffee breaks, etc., that suddenly I could wake up, go to my desk at 7 a.m. and just not move, eat there, not move, go from a Zoom meeting, check my email for 4 minutes, new Zoom meeting. And that felt just like this incessant hamster wheel, and just standing up of interrupting that cycle, simply physically standing up from my desk became that first step of interrupting that pattern, and then doing a 2-minute plank, if that's all I had between meetings, something that was not just sitting, scrolling, reading, that felt like this always on pseudo productivity, but wasn't actually getting me anywhere.
Totally. And I think I was totally doing the same thing. And I also work remotely, so it's hard to not do that, just be sedentary all day. The game changers for me in terms of accountability have been, one, getting an Apple Watch. So however you track it, you know, if it actually tells you to stand up, it tracks your movement, all that. So, you know, increasing my calorie and movement score every day as I get more comfortable with my MVP. But then also I have a weekly planner where I write down my goals for the week and how many times I want to achieve certain habits. So when you're just starting out a new habit, like walking for 5 minutes a day or whatever it is, nothing is too small. Just putting it down on that list and saying, I'm going to do this 5 times a day and actually checking it off for each day. For some reason, just it's a reward system for me. You know, for us A-plus students, checking things off the list is really good. So it's been really nice to actually have those goals. And it's so funny. I feel like every time I share this concept, people tell me, oh, mine is so basic. Mine is so fundamental or foundational. And that's the point, is that you're kind of redefining your relationship with your life after you have kids. So you need to go back to basics. And that's totally okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying to run an Ironman this year. You know, it's just about making sure you get a healthy amount of steps or whatever it is that will make you happy. So it's different for everyone. And there's no MVP that is too basic, believe me.
I love that. Two things came up for me with that. One was, there's no thing that's too basic, was Wes Cao's, I know this versus I do this versus I do this well. Sure, you can know it, but if you're not doing it, it doesn't really matter. And the more you do it, the better it becomes. And that's what comes out of your MVP concept, is defining it, doing it well, making it part of your routine. That just reinforces it as a pattern, which is great. And I hadn't, for whatever reason, thought about measuring. The Apple Watch is great, and what gets measured gets mastered, right? And so I don't measure currently, but I like the idea of having something to show really how far have we come with it and what have you done in a day.
Yeah, and I think the caveat there is, do that if that is something that will motivate you. Don't do it if it's another obstacle. For me, I love checking it off. But I think if someone is thinking, oh no, it's another thing I have to track, don't do it. That part is not for you. But it's all about really experimenting with what works for you. And now I have You know, I have it really dialed, and I can even say to my husband, I have not gotten my MVP time today. It's 9 a.m. on a Saturday. I gotta have 20 minutes before I'm doing the rest of the day with the kids. And he totally gets it immediately, and we can carve out that time for me and kind of go on another day. But for some people, it's so simple, like having a warm cup of coffee where they just get to drink that whole cup of coffee, or going to a workout class once or twice a week. I mean, it's really different for everyone. Every day doesn't work for everyone. Sometimes it's about something they can put into their week too. So it's fun to see what people's MVPs are. I'd love to hear what others are taking from this and what becomes their MVPs.
I would too. And I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
If you could give yourself one piece of advice from 10 years ago, yourself 10 years ago, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Ooh, so good. It would probably be to focus on one thing at a time. So I think it's funny. Now I look like the Ryan Seacrest of product marketing because I had a podcast, I had a book, I had a course. But I think because I tried to do them all at once, they all took a little bit longer. So if you're out there and you're trying to do a course, or you're trying to do something outside of your core job, try to focus on one thing at a time until you master that, like you said, and then move on and give yourself the attention to something else. I think it's easy for us to try to boil the ocean, and I have achieved many of my dreams, but only when I took a step back and said, okay, this is the season where I want to finish writing my book, or this is the season where I want to get really great at podcasting. So that's my advice to myself. That's what works for me. I think some people are kind of multi-generators. I think you're a multi-generator, Rebecca, and my best friend is too, where they thrive on like all the things at once. But for me, it was really about focusing on one thing at a time, because otherwise I just wouldn't put my heart into it. I wouldn't be able to finish it in the way I wanted to. So that's what I would say to myself 10 years ago.
I love it. And I think that's so important and related to what I would say to myself 10 years ago, which is know yourself and don't have anyone else's definition of success be your own, because what works for you is true to you. And trying to chase somebody else's definition of success or goals or dreams or approach just won't have the same results for you. And how things feel versus how they look is becoming something I'm increasingly more conscious of, is doing the things that feel right, the roles that feel right, the impact that feels right, to be grounded in my own definition of success and impact is just the recipe for this compounding energy. And to your point, yes, I love the multi-format. So to your point, working on a book and a podcast at once helps me, I think, strengthen both of them. I strengthen the episode ideas from writing chapters, and chapters come together a little more succinctly when I write episode descriptions. But that doesn't mean it would work for anyone else. So it could be a distraction, and chasing anyone else's formula or framework to copy and paste, it doesn't work in anything, especially not in our own definition of success in our lives.
I love it. And I wanted to share with your audience one more thing, if that's okay. I have recently started a newsletter. So that's my focus right now, is this newsletter. You can log on at propelyourself.co. And I'm actually giving away a free gift that's a PDF that has this MVP concept and the exercise that I talked about today. So if you're stuck or wondering how to do it, would love to give your listeners that as a little freebie today.
That is a great resource. We'll link to it from the show notes. Is that where people can find you if they want to follow for more?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the best. Or LinkedIn. Love LinkedIn lately. So find me on there.
Perfect. Follow Mary Sheehan on LinkedIn or go to propelyourself.co to check out her newsletter. Mary, I've loved this conversation, learned so much from you, and I love this MVP concept. I would also love to hear what any listeners took away from it or how they've adapted it to their approach, because we're all learning and iterating with it. So if you try out Mary's MVP concept, let us know how it goes and what you've learned from it.
Thank you so much. This has been so fun.
Thank you. It's been great. Appreciate it.
Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.